Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. I'm your host, Benji, and today's episode is a web class replay. A couple months ago, we invited our friend Bob Gavreau, the founder of Gavreau Accounting Tax Law Advisory, to teach us the fundamentals of financial controls. This session has slides and visuals accompanying it, so for the full experience, head over to YouTube, but it still totally works as just audio only. So in what follows, you can expect to learn the basics of annual budgeting, how to begin job costing effectively so you can stop doing unprofitable projects, and lastly, we get into the five cash flow destroyers every contractor needs to avoid. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Bob. Let's dive in. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the web class. My name is Benji. We are Breakthrough Academy, and we're joined by my good friend Bob with Gavreau Accounting Tax Law Advisor. How are you, Bob?
Doing great, my man. How are you doing?
I'm good. You look amazing as always.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I try my best. Just for you, though. I only work this way for you.
Very well-dressed guy, I gotta say. So guys, I'm really excited to have you all here for the next hour or so. There's 250 of you in the web class right this second. There's going to be some late stragglers who are going to find their way into the room over the next couple minutes. We're not going to wait for them though. If you can just start, I'd like to do a little housekeeping at the beginning. I want you to find a chat box because we really like an interactive web class. We like questions, we like comments. Nobody likes talking into the abyss, into the void without feedback. So if we say something stupid, you can say, hey, that's stupid. If you have a question, you can ask it. That's good. So I want you to find it on the right. Let us know where you're from and let us know what kind of business you run. Are you a general contractor? Are you a roofer? Do you own an ice cream truck? Just let us know where you are and what kind of business you operate in. I see a bunch of you. Hi, Warren. Hi, John. Hi, Jennifer, Jimmy, Jackson. A lot of J names. Trevor, good to see you guys. This session, okay, it's called Where's My Money? How $10 million Contractors Manage Cash Flow and Budgets in 2024. Don't know if you guys have noticed, but This market here in North America, Canada and the US, but particularly Canada, is a little bit, we've got, let's say, more economic headwinds than we did a year ago and certainly 2 years ago. I'm not an economist. I'm not even going to pretend to be. So I'm not going to get into like what's going to happen. But what I can say is that when times are getting a little bit tougher, really prudent contractors become hyper-focused on their numbers. And so we've been getting a lot of questions, a lot of requests from our audience, from our members to kind of put out some really good quality educational content on all things financial controls, financial tracking, accounting, bookkeeping. How do we get the most juice for the squeeze in our business? So that's what today's about. So we're going to cover over the next hour. We got a lot to cover. I'm not going to dilly-dally here at the beginning any longer. Let's dive in. I will do intros on Bob and I in just a second. What I want to tell you guys here at the beginning is when we do these web classes, okay, we love to give tons of free stuff away. Like when you go to, you know, your friend's birthday party as a kid and you leave laser tag or whatever with, you know, a goodie bag. This is like that. We're going to send you home with a goodie bag of like business systems. There's a really cool budgeting tool. Bob's put together this really useful cash flow forecast that helps you anticipate cash inflows and outflows so you don't get stuck in a cash crunch, something that we've all probably experienced and not somewhere we want to go back to again. Anyway, there's a lot of really good stuff that we've put together in a bundle that we will make available using a landing page at the end of this session. And so I want you to stick around to the end. We'll send you to this page. You fill in your name, email, simple stuff. You hit download and we will give you like all the stuff that we talk about. We're going to be leaving PowerPoint. I'm going to be showing you some tools. Anytime you see this yellow free resources icon on the top right, that means I or we are talking about something that is in that goodie bag that you're going to want to get at the end. So please do make sure you use that stuff It's our way of saying thanks for coming. And I just really believe in equipping you guys for success. It's easy to, I always feel this way. And like, I'm sure you do too. Like it's easy to talk about stuff. It's hard to implement it. So we want to give you as much of a head start as we can. As much of a head start as we can by giving you some templates and some tools that will help with that. Now there's this great quote on screen. You have, I'm sure have heard it. It is what gets measured gets managed. And it's from Peter Drucker. He wrote all the best business books before business books were this massive thing. He's kind of the OG when it comes to this stuff. And I think that this quote is a really, really powerful one. And it's just saying like what we pay attention to, both in our personal life, but especially in our business, has a funny way of kind of looking after itself. And so today's session is fundamentally about the measuring part. We want to give you tools like a budget, like a cash flow forecast, like benchmarks to compare against, a bunch of stuff that's going to help you measure. And we hope by extension, those things are going to get managed. Bob, any thoughts on this Peter Drucker quote? And while you're at it, maybe you can introduce yourself and Gavreau and your teammate Gavreau as well.
No, that sounds good. 100%. This is the life that I live, is what gets measured, gets managed. You know, the reality of it is that any good business owner who's growing and has plans to be successful in building a business has to measure. We can't be financially blind, which is probably a really great segue, Benji, to introduce myself and my team. I'm the founder and CEO of Gavreau Accounting Tax Law Advisory, essentially a CPA firm that also does legal work. We're a registered multidisciplinary firm where we support business owners, specifically contractors, in helping them make sure they have good financial transparency so that they can be empowered with good information and ultimately make massive change in the world. So we do financial reporting, tax, bookkeeping, virtual CFO services, anything money related that we can help contractors, that's what we do.
We have recently partnered with the team at Gavreau here at BTA because I can say a couple things on that. Finding good bookkeeping and accounting services is like finding a really good hairdresser or a really good dentist. Like, it's not that easy to do. And once you
find, I love my barber.
Right. You like hold on to them. You tip them. You're like, don't go, please don't move. Please don't do anything weird. You cut my hair the way I like. Don't mess this up.
Yeah.
The same thing with your books. And so this has always been kind of we get asked all the time, who's good, who's good, who's good. Gavreau is good. And that's why we're having Bob on the web class today. So guys, the purpose and outcomes for today, I want to set this up very simply. We want to share the industry proven financial management systems for budgeting, job costing, and overhead tracking. I like to think of that as sort of like the baseline trifecta of financial tracking systems. It's certainly not like the be all end all A to Z, you know, glossary on this, but if you were looking for like, if you feel like, hey, I'm a little lost right now, I want the biggest needle movers, the lowest hanging fruit, these would be the three. And what can we reasonably cover in a web class? It's like, this would be a really, really good place to start and sort of check your bases on first. We're going to talk about some other stuff too, but those are the core three. And then the outcomes would be that you have a clear understanding of these three building blocks and you leave with the direction and templates needed to increase net profit. The agenda is pretty simple. We're going to go through some common challenges. I think these web classes are helpful when there's a bit of relatability at the beginning. I want to make this a safe space to ask questions. And to be honest, like sometimes people get very embarrassed. There's a lot of emotion tied up when it comes to numbers, financials, profitability. We don't like to talk about it. So I want to just like, let's get on the same page and be honest. Like, this stuff is really hard. It's not that easy. We're not that well taught about it in our school system. There's not that many great resources. So if you're feeling a little bit lost, I want to make sure you know you're not alone. That's the first part. Then we'll go through the three core systems, the budget, job costing, overhead tracking. Then we're going to talk about benchmarks, which people always love this section because it's like, what am I even comparing myself to? Am I doing good? Am I doing bad? I have no idea. My competitors sure aren't going to tell me how much money they're making. So we want to just kind of peel back the curtain, so to speak, and show you what a good construction company should be doing in terms of gross profit and net profit, what a good roofing companies should be doing on those same metrics. Then we're going to go through some cash flow destroyers. Then we're going to go through implementing change. If it seems like I'm talking fast, I am. It's because we have a lot to cover. So let's keep moving.
And Benji, can I just say one thing on your comment there? So listen, guys, I work with 2,500 clients all across North America. The people's hardest time is coming in because there's always this feeling of shame and embarrassment. Like, we don't understand. We haven't kept it up to date. It's like, that is everybody that I deal with. That is everybody in this space until they take action and move away from that. And that's what we want to help you with today.
Totally. Every single decision you make for the business is made faster and with a significantly higher degree of certainty with accurate financial controls. This is from Coach Braden. He's one of our most senior roofing coaches at Breakthrough Academy. He sees this every day with the businesses he works with as well. So I have a question for you guys here. Why is staying on top of your numbers so hard? This is a simple question. There could be a lot of different answers. I want you to answer this in the context of your business. So think about your company, think about your team, think about your customers, think about how you collect payment, how you do banking, the bookkeeper you work with, the accountant you work with, like just in general, in the context of your business, why is staying on top of your numbers so hard? And I'm just going to read a few of these answers out again for relatability. You're not alone. I get busy. I have no systems. Things move too fast. It's time consuming. I'm trying to build a straightforward dashboard, but I don't know how. Inconsistency. I have other stuff to do. I'm extremely busy. Lots of paperwork. I don't really like it. Okay, great. So guys, please read the comment box. If you're like wondering if you're in the right spot, read the comments. This is a very widely felt pain and struggle. But did you know, and I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this, Bob, 75% of contractors, when we start working with them, this is anecdotal. This is from our 1500, the clients that we've worked with over the last 9 years, our coaches would say fully 3/4 of them don't have a budget. And the average net profit when we start working with them is between -2%. In other words, they're losing money, and 4%. In other words, they are making a negligible amount of money for how much work it is to run a business like yours. I'm curious, Bob, do you see the same thing?
You know what? I would say that one of these numbers is wrong, Benji, and I'll tell you why. And in a good way, I would say that the best people, the most successful business owners come and work with Breakthrough in your space. So these guys are already the prepared group, and that's 75% of contractors don't have a budget. I would say the non-BTA members coming in, right? They're people who are more fly by the seat of their pants. It's probably more like 95%, to be honest. And the -2% to -4%, that's exactly what I would see. And I call that the wind out of the west sort of outcome, where you're -2% to -4%. If the wind blows from the wrong direction, you go from 4 to -4, 4 to -10, 10 to +10. You know, it's very scary and very dangerous. And without a budget, which is probably the number one tool in establishing our businesses and achieving future success, without that, we don't know what direction we need to go. So the wind could really push us in a bad direction.
So let's talk about some common challenges. I'm going to read these slide by slide. And then, Bob, I really want you to layer in on each of these, because I think you'll have even a more nuanced understanding of some of these problems. When we think about why that question I just asked you, why is staying on top of your numbers so hard? You guys gave me some really honest and forthright answers in the chat box. Let me give you our take on it from our vantage point in the industry. Number one is just this idea of operational complexity. It is my perspective that most builders, landscapers, roofers, painters, drywallers, electricians, plumbers, home service companies, blue-collar businesses in general, vastly underestimate how complex their own businesses are. They'll go, well, it's just a roofing company, or it's just a painting company. It's like almost in sort of like this downtrodden way, which I think is bad. And you should look at that if you're doing that. But more importantly for this conversation, they're not fully understanding the scope and the shape and the complexity of these businesses. There's so many moving parts. You're dealing with staff, you're dealing with subs, you're dealing with vendors. You've got a supply chain that needs to be managed. And sometimes there are these act of God events like COVID or like global conflicts that disrupt things. You have weather to deal with, and depending on where you are, I mean, there's almost no escape. You'd be like, well, it's like, at least there's no winter in the South. Okay, yeah, but you get hurricanes. Like, there's almost nowhere in North America where you're not dealing with some weather events that are super disruptive to your overall production. You've got vehicles to manage. You have a whole bunch of equipment. You've got different insurances, and you have complex contracts, whether you're doing time and material or fixed price or some other option. Bob, thoughts on this operational complexity piece? Do people underestimate this in your mind?
Big time. You know, you start adding more people into building a team, and already the complexity is 20 times, right? You throw money in. Okay, that's challenging. You've got multiple vendor options, different pricing. You know, it's craziness. And then you throw the external factors that you can't control. You know, running a business is tough.
Poor educational resources, another common challenge. I'll let you speak to this, Bob, because you would see it more prevalently than me. I will go out on a limb, and this is not, I'm not laying this at the feet of teachers. I'm laying this at the feet of our educational systems more broadly. I don't think that we teach young people even the basics of personal finance very well. How on earth can they be expected to understand business finance at a sophisticated level? Where does this show up in the work that you do with your clients, Bob?
Yeah, unfortunately, everyone comes in. There's nothing, even in trade school, right? If we went to trade school, there's nothing in trade school that says, hey, this is how to run a trade business. You know, there's nobody teaching it, unfortunately. And on the other side, nobody really wants to learn it either. We kind of all ignore it. So the education system has failed us all. I get a message every tax season from a friend of mine that says, I'm so glad I studied parallelograms in grade 10 math, but nobody taught us what taxes are and how the hell we have to file them. So unfortunately, we're kind of on our own to figure this out, which is why we're here, right, Benji? Like, we're here to help support that because it's never been taught.
Yeah, I'm using my algebra and my trigonometry on a daily basis. It's been super, super useful. Someone else said this in the chat, and I want to reiterate it. Staying on top of your numbers is one of these activities that is incredibly easy to back burner. If you are familiar with the Eisenhower matrix, quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, quadrant four, and then the important versus unimportant and the urgent versus not urgent axes, which you can see on screen here. Being on top of your numbers is absolutely one of these activities that is easy. And probably some of you have done this today. It's easy to go, I'll get to that next week. Because while it is incredibly important for your financial success, for your long-term growth, for your mental health, for your strategic planning, everything that you do, it's not urgent in the same way that a pissed off customer is. It's not urgent in the same way that a project manager who just quit is. It doesn't have that same level of like time bound urgency. And so I think human psychology isn't our friend here in this example, in the sense that when you reschedule something once, you're very likely to reschedule it twice, and then you're really likely to reschedule it a third time and a fourth time. And that's how we end up in situations where people have not really had an honest look at their books in 6 months, sometimes a year, sometimes a year plus. So if that's you, again, it's more normal than you think. And this is a safe space to kind of talk about that, ask about that, and get some help on that. You have this other really strong point, Bob, that I'm going to let you speak about. You're a craftsperson, not an accountant.
Yeah, and again, we're in this business, right? We as contractors, we're in this space because we have an art. We see a market opportunity. We're able to accomplish something because we have this skill set with our hands to come in. Finance has never been something that we've really wanted to think about. And honestly, a lot of business owners,
You know, back to the initial comment about 75% not using a budget, you know, I would say a lot of business owners don't even have an up-to-date profit loss. We're not looking at that. The way that we're tracking our success is looking at the balance that's in our bank account. As long as we have money, everything seems to be successful. But as we're trying to build something successful, it needs to become a priority. We need to have optics. Otherwise, we're going to be flying blind.
I'm seeing a bunch of comments here about this. Like, I made a comment a few minutes ago about just like the mental health aspect of it. And it seems like people resonate with that. It's like, yeah, like not knowing your numbers is stressful and not fun. So I think today we want to bring some light and give you some tools and advice to make this make sense for you. Based on the notes that we just went through, I'm curious for you guys to give yourself a score. Safe space, ones are welcome. But what we want to do is self-report in and give ourselves a little financial tracking report card. A 10 would be like, we are at a CFO level. We look at our financial dashboards weekly and know the budget down to the cent. A 1 would be like, we ask our accountant once a year and we hope it's a good conversation. Fingers crossed. And then you kind of have this mid zone as well. We know our numbers sort of. We do some tracking, but it definitely needs some work. Where are you on this spectrum, guys? Just literally type it in the chat box and I want to read some of these. 6.5, 7, 4, 7, 6, 8. Okay, cool. 3, 4, good. As a bookkeeper, I would say I'm a 10. Good. I like to put spice decimals. Yeah, 7.7, not a 7.6, 7.7. Let's talk about these core systems. We're going to begin with the first of three, which is a budget. Bob, I'm going to dish to you quickly here, but I'll just set this up with these bullet points. A budget is, in my opinion, a much simpler tool than I think most people think it is. It is a way to understand last year's results using, like, get some historical data, translate those results into a budget for next year, a plan for next year, a best guess as far as what you're going to spend in certain categories for next year, and then help you organize a chart of accounts in a way that facilitates decision-making. We should underline that last word, facilitates decision-making. This isn't something that we make so that it looks pretty and we can show our friends. It helps us make informed It helps us call the shots in our business more effectively. Bob, what do you want to add to that when we think about budgeting?
Budgeting to me is like, you know, when we were all kids and we wanted to go search for the hidden treasure, you didn't just go out marching through the field. You had a treasure map where the X marked the spot, right? The budget for us is, what is the spot marking? Like, what are our goals? What are our objectives? And what do we need to do to actually get there? You know, like, I think some key elements are, how much marketing do we have to spend to achieve the revenue that we want to accomplish? If we want to double our revenue, how much labor cost is going to be incurred? Like, it is creating a map to take you from where you were at the end of last year or the start of this year and where you want to get to in the next 12 months. And every single organization that was part of Good to Great by Jim Collins followed a budget plan, and they were actually budgeting out 30 years was a common element of success. I don't think that's necessary, but 12 months, guys, this is our path. This is what we want to accomplish. So necessary for success.
So you saw a second ago on screen, we've got this little icon here. So I'm going to show you guys something that I would like for you to download and play around with in your own business. Now, I'll also caveat this by saying there are so many software tools and amazing platforms that you might already be using that might already have this baked into it. So if you have something else that works for you already and you like better, use that. But for those of you who don't, or for those of you who like kind of a low tech, more user friendly, easy to implement version of this, this is a really, really great place to start. Let me see if I can make this bigger. Well, actually, what I want to show you first is just the guide on the left. So this will be in the downloads. If you forget everything that we talk about today, you don't take any notes, and you just literally, it's just in one ear and out the other, You have this to fall back on. This is a step-by-step guide for how to build a budget, how to use this tool on the right, which I'm going to expand and make bigger in a sec so we can see it. But what this budget tool does is it helps us organize, this is literally what we just said, last year's results in terms of our revenue streams, what we spent on variable expenses to get, which we can see our gross profit as a dollar figure and a percentage, what we spent on overhead in the form of vehicle expenses, operational expenses, and marketing, and then hopefully a net profit at the bottom. And we use last year's numbers to predict next year's numbers more accurately rather than sort of making them up out of thin air. And so, you know, we're just kind of showing this on screen, going over it quite quickly. You guys are all very smart. If you've decided to register and come to this web class, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be able to figure this out on your own. So I'm not going to belabor the point here today. Download the tool and please get started on this, especially if you're feeling a little bit like you're not sure where to start. Anything else you want to add on the budgeting front before I move on, Bob?
No, just that it's imperative, guys. If you want to take your business to the next level, you need to be creating what your goals are and establish a way to do it. You know, one of the things I see very often with contractors is we just go, let's just sell more. We'll just keep selling. And there's gurus out there that say sales fixes all problems, which is untrue. It fixes some problems in the short term, but having a budget, having a plan, having a benchmark to see if you're achieving your goals, it's so important if you want to take your business away from being a sole proprietor, sole owner, to building a team and building a financially successful business.
I would actually go further and I would say, I'm not totally sure what problems sales fixes other than sales. I would make the case that it actually hides a lot of problems. And
I was trying to be respectful.
There are sales guys. It hides a lot of problems. I was listening to this podcast literally this morning. I'm going to see if I can find it. You guys know Alex Hormozi, very popular right now. What did he call it? Get it right before making it big. And it's like a 20 minute podcast. He just talks all about fixing the holes in the bucket before you scale. Budgeting is sort of like when it comes to your financials, it'd be the fastest way to start fixing the holes in the budget. You can see this on screen, quick example of what's possible through better financial tracking. Ian Kent is a former Breakthrough Academy member, went from gross profit of 29% to 44%, net profit from 20 to 24, grew his business using the systems that we just showed. So if I'm trying to make the case for why you should go and download this and spend some time on it, that's why. Job costing. Okay. Some people might call this project-based accounting. The concept is pretty similar, though. You as a business make almost all your money on the job site, right? That's your profit center is the jobs that you complete, and you complete them for less money than you sold them for. Pretty simple equation. And yet a lot of us are missing the whole project by project analysis to see if what we estimated the job for is indeed what it cost us to produce it. Bob, how else would you explain job costing, what it does, the function it serves for us as a business, and maybe how to do it too?
Yeah, well, and, you know, here's a metaphor for you. You know, we've all heard if you win the battles, you win the war. You know, every project is really on the profitability of, if we can make every project profitable, we will be a profitable business, right? So it's so important. And I think even learning from a sales standpoint as well, coming back and saying, okay, well, we did sell this or overpromise this. We need to correct how we approach selling it because our profit margins are just getting squeezed, if not maybe negative. And we all have had those jobs where it went sideways and it didn't work out. We want to understand why. So the more that we can learn from our mistakes, the more that we can learn from what's actually happened, the better we're going to be going forward into the future.
There's a really, we like low tech and sort of approachable tools. So you guys can see on screen like what this looks like filled out. I've just got a screen grab put on the slide. However, if you want to take this and dial it into your business, the actual template that that screen grab is taken from, hopefully you guys can see this. I'll try and zoom in a little, is taken from this tool right here. So you can see the columns, right? Date, job address, revenue stream, revenue hours, sales tax, labor, subcontractors, materials, miscellaneous fees. And what this spits out at the end is a gross profit dollar amount and percentage per project. Now, from a strategic angle, I'm not sure if you said this already, Bob, but like from a strategic angle, like why are we doing this? Again, it's not just to like have this pretty spreadsheet that we can show our friends. It is to see the, I like to think of it in simple terms, winners and losers. Are we doing jobs consistently that are absolute losers? And by that, I mean, we're losing money. We're stressed out. We don't like the clients. Our crews hate them, right? Every single time that we bring focus to a business's numbers through job costing at Breakthrough Academy, every single time, there's sort of a surprise moment for the owner. And it usually sounds something like this. Let me use a landscaping example. This is the owner who says, you know, we do a bit of construction. We do a bit of maintenance. We really like the big higher end jobs with the really expensive clients and the really nice before and after photos. And then we look at it. And then 6 months later, we can see this in the data where it's like, hey, Mr. Landscape owner, did you know that you're making about 12 points on all of your big landscape projects? I know you think that you're making money on it because they have a large ticket size and they're fancy and they're emotional and they make for great pictures on the website, but these are literally your whole business is held up by smaller construction projects and your maintenance, right? And like, oh, that's good to know. Maybe we should do smaller projects and do more maintenance. Let me change the marketing. Let me change the sales approach. Let me change our overarching strategy. If we are in business to make money, and surprise, we are, right? We want to know where our winners and losers are. And so that's where this becomes an incredibly effective tool. And that's really the role that it's meant to serve us as strategists in our business is, what do we want to go towards? What do we want to move away from?
And I would say, Benji, even taking that a step further, we look at individual projects, but then, you know, if we get our data right, we can even look at individual project lines and service offerings and product offerings. So like, is building decks, you know, the most profitable for you? Let's look at the individual ones, but then let's pool them together and see, you know, that might not be the same as a kitchen renovation. Our margins might be better. So like, you can use this information. The more you can get data pulled together, the more insights you're going to have so you can get rid of the losers and start focusing on the winners.
There's a saying that we use a lot in Breakthrough Academy, which is that when the data is clear, the answers jump out at you. And it's not like none of this stuff is incredibly complex. Like it's usually the moves that you need to make are quite obvious. Like so obvious, your like 14-year-old would probably come to the same conclusion. We're not putting rockets on Mars here. We're just like looking at what the data is showing us. And it's like, should we go right or should we go left? And if the data is clear, it's very clearly going to say go right. And it's not going to be this incredibly difficult decision to come to. And so that's the role that this plays. Again, this is available in the downloads. And I want you guys to go and get this on your computer, play around with it, start doing job costing immediately. Someone had asked, we've got a lot of questions piling up. I guess we'll get to them at the end. Someone had asked, maybe you have a thought on this, Bob? Do you have experience with the projects feature in QuickBooks?
Yeah, I saw that one come in too. And yes, it is effective, but it's all contingent upon the validity of the information that gets in there, right? So like the project tracking can be very, very powerful as long as we're making sure that all of the individual costs for those projects are being included. Because here's what I've seen, right? All of a sudden we're looking at an overall business profitability that's, you know, 10 to 15% really low, but then we get into these projects and everything's 45% plus. You're going, well, guys, those individual projects can't all be that high if our overall profitability is low. So there's something missing. As long as it's complete, it can be extremely powerful in QuickBooks.
We're going to do a quick very quick touch on overhead tracking. It's not, we're not going to spend forever on this. I think that this is a, mainly because your overhead is much more stable and there's less variance from month to month between it. But what I am going to show you is on that same, where were we? On the same job costing tool, which is available in the downloads, there's also an overhead tracker, which allows you to see quarter by quarter, month by month, what you're spending on these more fixed expenses, which are things like your vehicles, your management salaries, your insurances, your bookkeeping, accounting, your office supplies, recruitment and training, stuff like that, marketing as well. So this would be something that you can update on a monthly basis, not on a project by project basis, but it gives you a bit of a view on what your fixed expenses are. The reason that that's important is we say this a lot at BTA as well. Your overhead doesn't care how much revenue you do. And your goal is to, I like this term, cram as much revenue through your overhead as possible. Whether you build a lot, you build a little, that office lease is going to have to be paid. And so having an awareness of what that is a pretty good motivating force sometimes to go out and sell more, go out and produce more, make sure that job gets finished as quickly as possible at the quality standards we want. So this overhead tracker, kind of a bonus thing. In addition to the job costing, we want to start tracking your overhead as well. Should we talk about some industry benchmarks?
Yes, 100%.
Before we show this stuff on screen, do you want to give some context, Bob, on like how people should be using this or the lens that they should be looking at these benchmarks through before you bring them up?
Yeah, honestly, guys, benchmarks are super powerful because if we're starting to think of, hey, this is the next level of our business, we're starting to budget, these industry benchmarks can be really great to say, these are the standards that we're hoping to strive for. Now, hopefully you're finding yourself, because I know we're going to go through some higher levels, some average, some lower levels. We're hoping that you continue to have areas for improvement and you can push those higher levels. But really, this is just an area that you can, not that we like the comparison sort of metaphors, but this is a way to see if you're on track to what the industry is offering, or whether or not you can improve, or whether you're leading the industry. And if so, keep doing everything you're doing.
Well said. So I'm going to go through these for a number of our most commonly coached industries. If you are not represented on this on one of these slides, maybe send us a note and we can try to get some benchmarks built for your specific industry next time around. But these are the ones that we most commonly work with. And I think probably 95% of you are going to fit within these categories. So let's begin. Custom home builders and general contractors. We make a distinction between the in-house labor model, meaning most of the work done on the project is done by people that are like bona fide employees, right? So you are carrying much more, a higher wage burden in that instance, but you have more control and hopefully some more efficiency, versus a subcontractor model where you're more of a project management business. So it gets kind of laborious when I read every single benchmark off. So I'm just going to let you guys take a picture. If you're a custom home builder or general contractor, please just command shift 4 on your computer, take a screenshot and you can save that for later. We also, Aaron, maybe in the background, we can post our video. We did do like a shorter video on all these. It's on YouTube, pretty available as well for additional reading. Painting, residential versus commercial. We make a distinction between the two, although they are very, very, very similar in terms of the gross profit percentage and the net profit percentage. So around 42 to 47% gross, we would consider really healthy, but we do have painters who are in the 50s as well. Remodelers and renovators, as we call them here in Canada, you have a lower gross profit margin typically, and that's because the average job size that you do is much higher compared to painting. So 30 to 35 would be considered a solid gross profit margin, and 8 to 12 would be considered solid net. Roofing and exterior construction. By exterior construction, we mean siding, typically, if you're doing a siding business. Retail and insurance on the left, commercial on the right. If you're a roofer, you can take a screenshot of this right now. Plumbing and electrical. Now, I know the plumbers are going to be offended. They're like, I'm not an electrician. And the electricians are going to be offended. Like, I'm not a plumber. Like, I get it. As far as the spreadsheet look and the margins are concerned, your businesses are akin to one another. They're not saying that the trade is the same. I know that your businesses are different, but the numbers are quite comparable. So we've put them all into one slide to make them fit. Between 40 and 50% gross profit is solid, and a 12 to 18% net profit is solid. These are more profitable businesses, as you can see, compared to other ones. Landscaping, construction versus maintenance. There they are on the screen. If you do a blend of the two, you might call yourself a full service business, right? We build landscapes. We also maintain landscapes and mow lawns and that. I will let you figure out the blend of the two. You have to do the math yourself, but we want to chunk these out because construction is so different than maintenance. Maintenance is almost always more profitable, right? It's a smaller ticket, but it's more profitable. And the other thing too is it's recurring. You get maintenance contracts. These are really, really desirable businesses. If you can build one up and have a really solid book of business, these are landscape maintenance businesses are great businesses for exit multiples because of that recurring factor. Bob, I'm going to dish to you. This is a really, really interesting conversation, but I feel like we can do a whole web class on this. This idea of margins as you evolve and why they change from like the sort of that grassroots level to a more intermediate level to a more enterprise level of business. So I'll let you speak to this.
Yeah, and great, because I'm seeing comments in some of the chat there talking about the complexity of, you know, maybe I'm not as profitable as this benchmark and we don't know why. Well, it could be because of the stage that you're at in your business, right? So think of it this way. You go out and let's say it's landscape maintenance, okay? So the average benchmark was somewhere around the 35% mark. Well, if it's just you going out and doing the maintenance, what costs do you have aside from yourself? You might have, you know, a lawnmower, some fuel costs, going to be relatively low in comparison. We can imagine the margins are going to be extremely high. We don't have a team. We don't have labor. We just have ourselves. So a lot of times when we're at that sort of infancy, in any of the industries, you'll see that your margins are a little bit higher because we just don't have that overhead cost. Now, as you start to evolve and you start to build out your business, we've all done this, right? Where we're starting to be taking our profits and we're reinvesting in our business. And that money seems to just go away, right? We're hiring more people so that we can sell more projects, make more profitability, but we're constantly reinvesting in building our team out and maybe in our equipment. So in that leader sort of stage, your margins drop. So instead of it going from 60 to 70, we then go down to that range that we were seeing in that 20 to 50% range. And this, unfortunately, is sometimes where we drop down to a dangerous level. And that's back to my wind from the west sort of comment earlier, because we're reinvesting so heavily in the growth of the business. And then finally, in the bottom, we sort of normalize ourselves. Our aggressive sort of reinvestment slows down. It's more of a very predictable revenue growth. We've got everything really well calculated. So our net income continues to rise a little bit more. We're focused maybe a little bit more on efficiency versus reinvestment. So depending on where you're at in the stage of your business, your margins may be different as well. So we just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that too.
Bob, what advice would you give to someone who is like, say, really driven, really growth oriented, like sees themselves 10 years from now or 15 years from now at that scaling strategist level? Like, in other words, they don't just want to be kind of like a craftsman with a helper. Like, they want to grow a big scale, more scaled out business. What advice would you have for them as they make these like CapEx investments at different stages? They are making decisions around when and who to hire. And I'm giving you kind of a leading question here, but what I want you to speak to is like avoiding the pitfalls. There are some real headaches that we can find ourselves in when it comes to scaling, where we spend too much too early because we think the gap is smaller than it is. Like, There is inherent danger. And I think that's why this mountain kind of visual on the right is a good one. Like, there's a few cliffs along the way. There's a few crevices along the way. What's your advice to someone who wants to get to the top and wants to avoid those as safely as possible?
Yeah. And it's so funny because if everybody isn't relating to Benji's comments right now, like it's hurting me. I'm starting to sweat a little bit, Benji, as you're talking about this, because, you know, I've got a team of 110 people. We're definitely in that leader sort of position, right? Where we've started to build the capacity, but we're heavily investing in growing because we want to help as many people as possible. That's just where we're at. So the major tool we've already even talked about and started the follow-up factors are going to be cash flow related, which I know we're going to talk about today. But the main factor, if you want to avoid having challenges going into that leadership space, is having a budget. Honestly, guys, when we have a budget and we have predictable margins, we can calculate out, this is what our margins are going to be as we add people in. This is how it's going to change our margins. This is how the trajectory is going to go. And then like the key element is staying on track of it to make sure that we're not differing from our budget and our expectation very far, because that's when the danger starts to happen. We miss our sales targets. We're not as product, our productivity drops. And then we get into that really scary sort of version. So one, maybe don't invest as heavily as you think you want to. That's not one, but always have that sort of path mapped out of what it looks like and make sure you're staying on track. Because if you're not staying on track, that's when problems start to happen.
Let's move forward and talk about cash flow. This is your slide. So I'm going to bring up these bullet points and let you speak to these. But I'll maybe set it up by just reading a quote from Bob. And this is something that I think we researched. We did a video on this a few months ago. Businesses don't fail because they're not profitable or they don't have a great product. They generally fail 82% of the time just because they run out of cash in a very, very short-term horizon, a very short-term way, and they can't afford to pay short-term bills on what would otherwise be a really profitable business, which is a travesty. So, Bob, what do you want to talk about here when it comes to cash flow?
Yeah, cash is king. You know, we've all heard it before. If we run out of it, it's a really dangerous spot. And you know, we've all heard the startup world, you know, the tech space, everybody's starting up and they don't have any profit. So maybe we shouldn't have any profit because some of them end up being the most successful businesses in the world. But it's not true. No. You know, those businesses are failing because they run out of cash. They don't have sales. And eventually their funders, who are essentially giving them equity money to be long-term successful, they just stop. And we don't have that same privilege. So we need to make sure that our funds do not get eliminated. So we need to be paying attention to it. So we brought up here six ideas of where you need to start worrying about when your cash flow is starting to be a problem. When you're starting to see, and we're seeing this across the board, guys, right now, consistently receiving late payments. Right? That's meaning that your clients and customers are putting off the time that they're paying you, the time that your accounts are in receivable mode are getting longer and longer and longer. And the economy is driving that right now. So we're seeing it. So if you're feeling that, we need to pay attention and we need to have a strategy, because that is one of the reasons the cash flow will be eliminated. Your accounts payable are increasing. You know, the accounts payable increasing is a good cash flow management strategy, but we don't want them to be outstanding for 90, 120 days because we don't have the resources to pay. If our payables are increasing, we need to be conscious that, you know, it's strategic that they're increasing, not because we can't pay those funds in the short term. Difficulty meeting payroll obligations. This is a weird stat, Benji. More than 80% of businesses have to transfer funds on a week-to-week basis just to meet payroll. And that is scary, right? So for anybody who's hearing that, you're not alone. It's a majority of businesses are in that case, but it's because of cash flow shortages and cash flow management issues. We need to focus on strategy to eliminate that. Overdependence on short-term loans, meaning that they're getting paid off really quickly. So we've got a really condensed period of repayments, which really draws hard on our operating cash flow. We don't like that. If your margins are declining, one of the major contributors to positive cash flow is profitability. If we don't have profitability, long-term sustained cash flow is not good. They're not equal,
right? Net income does not equal cash flow. We can look at the differences between them, but if you have sustained declining profit margins, you're eventually going to have pains when it comes to margins. And then lastly, growth. If you don't have growth in your business, meaning that you're not bringing in new business, you're not charging enough, or we're not increasing our prices to meet up with the demands of our rising costs, we're going to see cash flow challenges as well. So there's lots there, but let's just be conscious of some of those key concepts and have a strategy to eliminate them.
If you guys want to get a little bit more predictive, proactive versus reactive with your cash flow, I will just quickly show on screen. There's a really great cash flow forecasting tool that Bob and his team have put together. And this is an important distinction, very different than the budget, which is showing you, sales, expenses, and hopefully of profit. This is much more to do with cash inflows and outflows. So it's a different lens to look at a similar question, but it will kind of, if you do a good job on this and you're putting the data in, you will see the cash dips, the cash moments before they have the cash crunch moments before they happen, and allow you to prepare for them or navigate around them much more effectively. So really cool tool available in the download. We got to move quick, but let's talk about these five cash flow destroyers. We're kind of pulling a bit of a conversation that you and I had on our podcast last year. These are five things not to do, okay? Five things not to do as an owner if you want to keep your cash flow healthy. Take it away, Bob.
This is the rapid fire section. Okay, the number one issue I see when people come to me at the end of the year, they say, Bob, you're saying we made this profit, but we have no money left in our account. When we do some investigation, it's because the owners take all the money out. If you're drawing out, you're taking dividends, it's not showing up on your profit and loss statement. Owners, stop taking all the money out of the business and using it on your lifestyle. It's fine. We want to build a business that supports that, but let's make sure that it's very well calculated and we're doing this systematically. Set yourself up on regular frequent payments. Give yourself an incentive for hitting certain benchmarks, but don't just continue to pull all the cash resources out.
CapEx purchases.
Yeah, so this is a big one, guys. So this is another one. You know, again, you have $100,000 profit at the end of the year. You have no cash in your bank account. Why? Well, Bob, we had a really good year this year. Our profits were looking really good. You know what? We needed a new truck for the crew. So we went out and bought a new truck with cash from our operating account for $70,000. I'm sure lots of people can relate. What happens is the tax bill comes in, the sales tax bill comes in, and all of a sudden we have no cash left in our bank account to pay this. Instead, let's stop buying capital assets with the use of our operating funds. The banks and the lenders love to secure against capital items. Let's use the bank's money to finance the use of this vehicle. And here's a real good reason why. Let's say it's a $70,000 vehicle, but it's $1,000 a month. So instead of $70,000 of outflow, I've got $12,000 going out, $1,000 a month. With that new truck, I have a new crew on the road. That new crew is generating more than $1,000 a month in profit from that vehicle. Let's use the bank's money. Let's put the profit back into the business that way.
Even with higher rates, you're still bullish on this point.
I am. So you have to look at your gross profit margin and you have to compare that to the rates that you're seeing. So if we're looking at an average, let's just say across all those benchmarks is 30%. I'm going to make 30% profit and I'm going to pay 8% on a vehicle finance, it still makes 100% sense to finance that vehicle and leave that cash flow in our business.
This is one that you blew my mind with this stat that you shared. Like, I can't remember, some massive majority of businesses are paying more than they need to in tax. So take us through this one.
Yeah, 92% of businesses pay more tax than they legally are required to. And this is where I normally go. Are you sure that you're part of that 8% that's not? Because we don't really know. I know. I can tell you. But the challenge is that we don't know enough to make sure that we're maximizing the opportunities. So the biggest reason that we see businesses paying too much tax, you're using the wrong business structure. So if you're a sole proprietorship in Canada, you should be looking at a corporation. The tax rate's about 12% for the first 500,000. If you're in the U.S., at a minimum, you want to be an LLC to protect yourself. But if your tax rates are getting higher, the C corp or the corporation status tax rates are 21% plus state tax. We want to make sure that we're optimizing our business structure. And maybe you already are, but we need to constantly be reviewing it because everything continues to change. Compensation strategy. Are you paying yourself a dividend distribution or are you paying yourself salary? There's a benefit to one or each for you, and there's a preferred way to do it. It's very personalized. I'm a huge fan of dividends and letting the business pay tax. That's just me. But for everybody, it can be quantified which one is the best tax savings for you. Maximizing your deductions. If you don't have up-to-date, accurate bookkeeping documents, you likely are missing out on opportunities to claim everything that you possibly can. Get yourself a business bank account and a business credit card and make sure you're putting all your expenses on there. If you're paying cash or you're paying with your personal account and everything's mixed together, things are going to be missed and there's going to be lost opportunity. And last but not least, to put $10K back in everybody's pocket today, make sure that you put your kids on payroll. If they're over 10 and you can justifiably say that they're helping you with filing, with cleaning out the trucks, the vehicles, whatever it is, put them on payroll. They have a $15,000 personal tax exemption, which allows us to get a $15,000 per child deduction in the business. They pay no tax on pulling that money out. I put mine in a joint account for my kids to save for their education, but you can also put that money in there and pay for things like kids' sports, private education, whatever it is that you want to fund what their costs are. Because we all know that those little rodents that we love so much cost us so much money. We love them, but man, are they expensive.
They are expensive. Okay, this is a really profound idea. Really, really. Collect what is owed to you.
You know what? It's so funny because whenever we look at somebody's balance sheet, right, which is the listing of assets and liabilities, and they say our cash flow is hard and it's hurting. Well, how about this $200,000, $300,000 amount of work that you did, paid for materials, paid for labor that people just haven't paid you? So go out and collect your money and make sure that that type of client isn't necessarily your A-plus client. You want to make sure that you're collecting money closer to the end of the transaction, if not getting fully paid up front. I always like to talk about this as the sequence of the transactions that need to occur instead of it being after the fact, where we know if we've delivered everything we promised and they got everything they need, their incentive to pay us goes way down because they got what they wanted, right? If we get that paid before that, there's much more higher probability of us getting paid. So let's make sure we're moving the transaction from behind all the way to the front. You know, they want us to get started. They want to see projects, advancement, ask for money up front. People are willing to pay for it.
Lastly, I love this point. You are a very agnostic about payment sources. Take Bitcoin, take Litecoin, take check, take anything.
Take it all. Take it all. Yeah, take it all. But honestly, guys, you know, this is one of the arguments that I get all the time is people go, well, we don't want to accept American Express because their fees are too high. It's 4%. Well, with the 4%, we now have got paid and there's no guarantee of payment if we're waiting for our accounts receivable. And I would challenge most of you, if you've got people who owe you money, I would bet you more than 4% of those people will not pay you, right? They will be bad debts at the end of the year. Instead, take the credit card, put the cash in your account, accept e-transfers, deposit the check, get set up for online bank payments, accept all forms of payment so that our clients have no excuse as to why they haven't paid us. We'll accept it in any form or fashion.
That was a very, very solid quick fire round. Guys, it is 11:58. I promised you a bundle of stuff at the top of the hour, which we're going to get to you. My ask is that you stay on for an extra 2 to 3 minutes. So it is 11:58 a.m. PST. We will get you this download by like 12:03. That's my promise. We have a couple things to cover off here before we do. So do not go anywhere. Stay tuned for another five. I want to ask you guys on the web class today, we've covered a lot of ground here. What was your biggest takeaway from today? What's like the one thing that you're going to do, whether that's a tool or system that we shared, an idea that Bob or I spoke to? What is your one biggest takeaway from today that you are going to take action on? I don't expect you to take everything that we talked about and have it implemented by next week. But if there's one little nugget that you can make moves on, I'd like to know what that is in the chat box. Okay, let's talk a bit about implementing change. This stuff is easy to talk about. It's harder to do in reality. So Bob, briefly talk about you guys. Then I'm going to talk about BuilderTrend. Then I'm going to talk about BTA. Then we'll get to these resources. Here's a great picture of you and your team.
Yeah, it's a good one. We're a little bit bigger than that now, but we're honestly, guys, we are on a mission to empower entrepreneurs with the right information so that you guys can make informed decisions. And I got to tell you, as far as implementation goes, the very first thing you have to make sure that you have in place is good bookkeeping. It has to be up to date for one, so that you can rely on up to date information. You're not dealing with last year's accounting report. It's up to date. It's accurate. You know the person that is doing it is qualified, because if you're making decisions based on this info, you need to be able to rely on it. And then also, lastly, is to understand what some of these reports mean. And that's one of the reasons that I love working with Breakthrough. They do a really great job informing their clients on how to interpret this information, how to make their businesses better. So start with your numbers, get them right, so that you can make sure that you're using good information to make informed decisions and really go out and create financial success and a legacy for yourself.
Well said. We also are going to mention our friends at BuilderTrend, which is, as you know, the industry-leading software and project management tool for the construction industry. So where they fit into this whole conversation that we're having, we're sort of discussing really sound fundamental principles when it comes to making more money, budgeting, job costing, tracking overhead, streamlining payments and invoicing, improving your cash flow forecasts, right? Boosting your client confidence with transparent communication, all the stuff that we covered. BuilderTrend has a lot of that stuff baked right into the software. And so we really, really like them as a, you know, we have some great spreadsheets and some tools that you can use. And I would encourage you to, if you're already on BuilderTrend and you're not using it for the functionality that I just described, you're paying for features that you're not getting value out of. So I say this about all platforms, BuilderTrend especially, use what you pay for, right? Like, these tools are not always cheap. You pay a monthly expense for them. Make sure you're getting the most out of it by capitalizing on that functionality. So use it for job costing, use it for budgeting, use it for communicating with clients, use it for collecting payments. Incredibly, incredibly powerful tool, not just for managing projects, but for making more money as well. Okay, we have not talked about BTA yet, and I want to. I think it's important. We've covered a lot of ground today. Where does this topic and these conversations come from? Our mission is to transform honest, hardworking contractors into well-balanced leaders and thriving entrepreneurs. So what Breakthrough Academy is a specialized business coaching and advising company that only works with blue-collar businesses. Okay, we are not generalists. We are specialists. We only work with construction, painting, landscaping, roofing, electrical and plumbing, and home service businesses. That's it, okay? Our companies altogether do about $2 billion in annual revenue. And after their first 12 months getting coached by us, the average new Breakthrough Academy member sees a revenue increase of 25%, which is great. But way more importantly, they see a net profit increase of 69%. So we make a massive difference to the bottom line through the systems that we implement. And the systems that we implement are quite broad. This is you could think of this like a business framework. We call it the contractor growth method. Today's conversation was all about financial controls, budgets, job costing, overhead tracking, forecasts, et cetera. We do a lot more, right? We help businesses define roles for every position in the company so people know what's expected of them. We help them implement hiring systems so they can get the talent that they need and not feel like they're working with B players all the time. We help them build out training and onboarding infrastructure so that people can learn their jobs quickly, become values aligned quickly, become a productive member of the team in as little time as possible. We help our members with their sales and marketing system so that they can take this great product or service that they do and bring it to the world and grow. And then we help them with their goal setting and execution. So long-term strategic planning, quarterly reviews, building better reporting systems, block scheduling your time, delegating stuff to other people on the team. This is sort of the final piece of the puzzle, so to speak, that helps a contracting business grow. So my thought on this is every business needs an operating system, needs a business system. If you're a blue collar business, we think the best option for you is the contractor growth methods. This is something that we've built over years and refined after many, many reps and working with over 1,500 contractors all over North America. And so if you want to do that, you want to work with a specialized coach who gets to know your company and helps you implement systems and track your numbers and make more money. That's what we do. And I think these parameters are really useful to look at. If you've been in business for more than 2 years, you do between $1 and $15 million a year in revenue. You want to develop as a leader. You want to work with high performing peers. You want to be challenged and held accountable. This program is literally purpose built for you. So I'm going to bring this in for a landing here. A couple really important notes. We've got a whole bunch of questions backlogged, by the way, so we will get to those in a sec. If you want to download this bundle, budgeting tool, job costing tool, overhead tracker, the cash flow planner from Gavreau, and a bunch of other stuff, you're going to click on the button, which is on screen right now, the blue button that says here. It's going to take you to the landing page. You're going to fill out your first name, last name, company, email, phone number, et cetera. And then at the bottom, you have options. If you want to connect with Breakthrough Academy, you select from the dropdown, let's talk about how you can help my business. If you just want the tools, then you just want the tools. But if you want to actually speak with someone from our team, we'd love to talk to you. You select that option on the dropdown. If you want to learn more about Gavreau, you want to connect with them, you select that option from the dropdown. And if you want to connect with BuilderTrend, you can do that using the dropdown as well. So three sort of service providers here today, three great options and support systems for you and your business. If you want all three, get all three. We'd love that. That's available at the bottom. And I'm going to ask one more time, like, please do take the stuff that we're giving away for free today and do something with it. It helps a ton. Something our clients pay for and we're just giving it away for free. Okay, let's get to some questions. Have you got a minute here, Bob, to do some Q&A? We've got a whole bunch of stuff here backlogged.
I do. I did see the list of questions. I was like, okay, let's do this. Let's do this, Benji. We got a few.
All right. I'm just going to start at the top. Question from Deborah. One thing I struggle with, my background is consulting to large multinational companies, and now I own a 10-person small business. I know how to do a lot of this reporting and management, but I struggle to know how much to do in terms of reporting and controls. I think this question is about like that data sweet spot. How much is too much where I actually can't see a signal, and how much is too little where I'm just stumbling around in the dark? So what are your thoughts for Deborah?
Yeah, Deborah, it's a challenge that I have too, right? Because we can all go down that rabbit hole of maybe getting a little too fine on the details. I always look at this as a cost-benefit analysis and I go, okay, if I spend more time doing more of these reports, is it going to give me a justifiable, better amount of information so that I can make better decisions? If not, we need to call it there. You know, definitely for me, looking at a P&L is huge. A P&L compared to previous periods, compared to our benchmark, our budget, super powerful, really important. Job costing, look at our individual jobs, that's really important. Looking at our cash flow, really important. You know, if we want to start drilling down deeper than that, it better have a really good reason. And the value that's in those reports needs to be extremely high because it can take a bit of time.
That's so well said. I've heard this framed even more concisely, which is that if it's not changing your behavior, don't track it. Like if you're just looking at it, you're like, oh, that's interesting to know. I'm not sure what I do with that information and where to go from here. Honestly, don't even look at it, because if it's not helping you do something in your business, it's just noise. And as I love to say, if you confuse, you lose. Okay, question from WP. How often throughout the year do you guys review budget and cash flow, and who are the people in those meetings? Directors, managers, project managers?
Yeah, great question. So I have my budget broke down in essentially daily as well, but weekly. Weekly is really important. So we meet with our management, our leadership team on weekly objectives, and those objectives achieve a monthly target. So we look at monthly budget, but broken down into weekly. Every single week, our management team is there. Anyone who's responsible for helping achieve those goals or that is accountable to those numbers needs to be in that meeting.
Question from Preston. Can you touch base on the benefits of putting daily costs of goods sold expenses on accounts versus daily purchases?
Really, cost of good purchases is an element of cost of goods sold. And I would put them in on the day that they're actually realized. So meaning that if you're going and picking something up, like supplies, let's say you went and picked some lumber up, I would put them in the day that you picked up the lumber, because that's the day that you're doing the job, right? So I would put them in that day, because that will match to the revenue that we're earning, or should match to the revenue we're earning, so that you can see the true profitability, you know, by month, by week, so that you can see how your company is performing. But yeah, cost of goods sold would include things like direct labor, purchases, subcontractors. I know I like to throw in vehicles if they're necessarily going to and from the job site in there as well, but anything that's directly related to delivering that specific revenue should be under that cost of goods sold piece.
It's a great question from Jim here. This is, I'm sure we could be very long-winded, but we'll try to give a quick thought on it. What are your thoughts on setting up an accounting team in-house versus outsourcing? That's an interesting question to ponder. What do you think?
Yeah, outsourcing all the way. The reason why, not just because we do it, right? Like you could... You could outsource to us, Jim, and that would make your life easy. But here's one of the things that we need to know about bookkeepers. They're a little flaky, right? Like bookkeepers are a little flaky. And if they don't have somebody who can help them understand exactly what it is that they're supposed to be doing on a day-to-day basis, they will feel lost and they end up having really high turnover rates. So when you turn somebody over, who's going to train the new one? You know, it becomes challenging, and there's lots of bookkeepers that are turning over. Also, if you're looking at scaling your business, when you outsource, you can actually outsource and scale that outsourced function as your business grows as well. So that's my two cents on it. There is always going to be a benefit of having somebody internal who is devoted 24/7 to you, which I do love as well. It's just whether or not, you know, there's going to be turnover and whatnot, because I know it's really stressful for business owners.
Question from Robin. Some of the difficulties in this budgeting is that projects run more than 1 year, especially for custom builders. Any thoughts on how to best manage that?
So this is how I would do it. I typically would look at a project that spans over multiple periods. So even if it's over a month or a year, I would have it broken down into months into, okay, if it's $120,000 or let's say $1.3 million project over a 13-month period, that's $100,000 a month. What are the costs going to be incurred in that period of time? And I would look at a percentage of completion of that contract over the period of the contract. Also identifying the costs that go in during those periods as well. That way, it doesn't necessarily matter how long it is, because it's going to be broken into at least monthly, right? You could do more weekly, but I would do it at least monthly on the revenue side. This is how much revenue is realized during that period of that contract.
This is another great question from WP. How many categories of bank accounts do you guys usually recommend, i.e. operating bank accounts, tax account, accounts for future capital expenditures, et cetera?
So this is our profit first question, right? And so let me take a pause to say, I really like the framework. I don't like it in practice. And I don't know that, unless you're a profit first accountant, no accountant really likes those multiple accounts, because typically there's lots of transfers going back and forth and it gets a little messy. So at a minimum, I would want an operating account and I would want my credit cards in place. if it is really meaningful for you to put away tax installment payments or sales tax or payroll, I would set up separate accounts for those so that you can transfer and know that those are taken care of. Anything beyond that, I think gets a little redundant. And I will say, profit first, again, as much as I like the concept of it, we want to be careful that it doesn't trigger any negative tax implications as well. So when we're looking at doing any sort of profit disbursement, we need to be aware that that might have personal and other business tax related consequences. So just make sure you're working with your accountant to answer that question as well.
Now, I want to do maybe a follow-on to that, because I think that there's some, like, the profit first model is very, very helpful in the sense that it gets cash away from these accounts where it can just get lit on fire. The power in it is, and I've had this explained to me, when you move cash out of the operating account into accounts where it's a little bit more, let's say, protected, there's a layer of sort of, it's one transfer away from being spent because there isn't a credit card or a debit card attached to it. The value in doing that, it's sort of like when you run out of toothpaste, bear with me, when you run out of toothpaste, what do? You squeeze harder to get that last little bit out, right? There's something psychologically powerful about that. And I've always really liked the profit first approach for that reason. Now, you're saying it's really messy on the back end, and so you don't love it as an accountant. Is there maybe a happy medium, or how do we take the good parts from the profit first without making a massive headache for our accountants?
Great question. And if you didn't ask it, I was going to go there anyway. I think this is where our budget comes into play. Right? So if we're setting up our budget properly and we're tracking what our profitability should be, even our cash flow, we should be predicting how much profitability should be there. So what I would do, Benji, is I would actually only set up one account, and I would transfer it from my operating account into an investment account that's earning some type of income. And I would leave it there. And everything that's within our budget should be paid for from the operating account. Any surplus, I would be dishing it out into something that's making passive investment income.
Well said. I'm going to do two more here with the time that we have. These are, by the way, guys, these are really good questions.
Great questions. Yeah.
A lot of questions. And not all questions are good. A lot of people say there's no such thing as dumb questions. There are. What did you eat for breakfast this morning? Is a dumb question. What's your favorite book? Is a dumb question. Use the expertise with good questions. I appreciate you guys. You rock. This is from Gerald. What is the advantage of the owner paying themselves via dividend versus CRA T4? And is there a point where T4 makes more sense than the dividend? Great question.
It is a great question. And Gerald, I'm not going to have a super awesome answer for you because it's very personalized. So it depends on everything that you have going on in your life. Here's a really good example, though, of where a dividend would make more sense. If you don't have a high need to pull cash out of your business, right? Let's say you're taking $50,000 or $1,000 a week out of your business. That's all you need to live and pay your mortgage and do whatever. A dividend is going to be very, very tax favorable. At $52,000 a year, and this is in Canada, you're really not going to pay much tax at all personally, and your business is going to be paying 12% tax. It brings your combined tax rate down to about 12%, which is fantastic. If we go to a salary and we start paying $50,000, you know, your tax rate is going to be higher than the tax we're saving in the business. It just leads to a little bit more lost opportunity tax. At the same token, we've got source deductions, payroll remittances, and whatnot that are attached to payroll versus dividends. So it makes it more cost effective. In the US, because I just want to always deal with the US and the IRS side, a lot of times when we have an LLC set up, we're just paying tax on the income being earned in the business. If we want to get into dealing with distributions from the company, we have to file as a corporation, which flattens the tax at 21% plus your state tax. And from there, you pay secondary tax on your distribution. That can also make sense. So if your tax rates are getting above 21% in the US, you want to be looking at a different structure outside of an S corp or an LLC. So those are the sort of parameters of where we need to start thinking about it, but it is going to be a very personalized approach as to which one makes the most sense.
There is Have you heard of this guy? His name's Greg Crabtree. He wrote Simple Numbers.
I have.
He makes the case. I just would mention this, like, there's a pros versus cons thing. One is more tax efficient, but maybe less intellectually honest, in the sense that you're not actually giving yourself a clear picture of what it would cost to replace you when the time comes. So I think that's a really important fact. Is the role that you're doing and paying yourself via dividends to be more tax efficient something you're going to end up needing to pay for in the future? And he makes the case, you might just want to be more honest with yourself about what that is going to cost you in payroll one day anyway. So I think it's very, very case by case. I'm not going to belabor the point more. It's a deep down the rabbit hole question from Gerald, and I think you answered it really well. One more from Jackson. What's your suggestion for long pay cycles? We are a high-end window supplier with most single projects bringing in at least 100K. Nice. This gets a deposit up front, but we don't see the balance for at least 6 to 9 months, hopefully the full balance. So what are your thoughts on long pay cycles?
Yeah, I would definitely try and introduce more than just one pay cycle up front and then at the end. So I would maybe even throw in a monthly to try and at least keep that cash inflow going. And again, I feel like doing a $100,000 window project, people expect it. You know, people expect that that's going to be the case. They don't expect to not pay until the end. And it's a pretty big commitment. So if I'm committing my team and my resources, I want to make sure that I can essentially guarantee that I'm going to get paid. I would also even try this, Jackson. I would actually try setting up a scheduled pre-arranged debit sort of agreement where at certain schedules, even at, you know, four times within the 6 to 9 months, that you're pulling in a specified amount so you don't have to chase them. You know, get a direct debit in there so that you're getting your cash flow in.
Let's launch our little pop-up one more time, please, Aaron. Guys, we need to we've already gone 5 minutes over. If you have not gotten your resources yet, you can go to this landing page to get those. You can also book a call with Breakthrough Academy. If you're a fast-growing contractor and you want to systemize your business a smart way, connect with us. That's all we do. You can also connect with Gavreau if you want really, really world-class booking and accounting and law and tax advising. You can connect with them there. And lastly, if you want to connect with BuilderTrend, if you're CRM shopping or project management software shopping for your construction business, you can connect with them as well. So all of that is available by clicking on the blue button there on screen right now. Please go do that if you have not yet. If you are still here, and it looks like about 213 of you are, I would really like for all of us to just thank Bob for doing this with us. He's a busy guy. And a very in-demand speaker and thought leader on this subject matter. So, Bob, I will say this on behalf of the people here today. Thanks for doing this, man. You rock.
My pleasure. Anytime, Benji. You know what? And for you and your community, you work with the best people. And, you know, for anybody who's really looking at taking their business to the next level, if you're not considering working with Breakthrough, you're missing out on an opportunity. You know, I feel like there's so many of us that are going through building our business and we have opportunities to really level up. And we maybe overthink it and we maybe pass it by without taking action. Like, honestly, we need to surround ourselves with people who can help elevate us. And Breakthrough really does that for the people that they work with. So thanks for allowing me to join you guys. It is wonderful to be here with you guys and to be a proud partner of Breakthrough as well.
Thank you. Really appreciate the kind words. Guys, if you have not if you've not gotten your stuff, please go do that. We're going to hit end session in like 2 seconds here. Last thing I'll say is we do these web classes every month. So keep your eyes on your inbox for more invites to stuff like this in the future. We cover all sorts of subject matter from financial controls, to strategic planning, to how to hire better people, to how to build a training and onboarding system. So we'll be doing more of that in the future. And if you have not subscribed to our podcast, Contract Revolution, that is on every platform, every Wednesday. You can check us out on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. That's my last shameless plug. Thank you guys for coming. Have an awesome October. Happy Halloween to our Americans in the South. You have Thanksgiving coming up. If I don't see you before then, happy Thanksgiving. Peace out. We'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our channel, consider sharing this episode with another contractor who you think needs to hear it.